But I really, really enjoy coming to Valley. I'm glad Daniel's not here. It makes it more fun. He's probably watching it coming through Virginia somewhere. But I appreciate him trusting me with his pulpit and you folks being here. It was, and I say this to the glory of God, it really was a spirit-filled service this morning. And God was moving. I believe there was somebody that left here without the Lord. And I trust that you'll continue to pray and invite me back. I pastored for almost 40 years. And then I asked the Lord if there was something different I could do. Thank you.
I got here with a spring hitting on it. I hope it's
all right. Stick your finger in it. That's Franklin County water. It's got a peculiar taste to it. But I asked the Lord if I could do something else. And you ought to thank the Lord, and I'm sure that a few of you do, every day for your pastor and your pastor's wife. I've drove semis. I've painted. I've worked in steel. I did a lot of things before the ministry and some things why the early part of ministry. And there's no harder job than trying to keep everybody straight. So I determined early in the ministry I wasn't going to keep anybody straight. I'm going to leave that up to the Lord. I mean, if you left without Jesus, that is between you and him. But you will find that God will have something to say about it when we stand before him. I want to thank Christine, Brother Paul. It is Brother Paul. Did I get that right? Brother Johnny, or whoever the song leader is. His wife heard me say I was going home and have a sandwich and a bowl of soup, maybe a snowball cake or a moon pie. Some of you older folks know what that is. And that's what I did. I went home and ate lightly, looked over my message, and then my couch kept calling me, so I decided to please it and lay down for about 45 minutes, got up, watched a little bit of John Wayne, and I said, well, maybe I better leave early because it's raining, and I did. But she heard me say that, and she took food out of his mouth and brought me roast and mashed potatoes, and this is going to be a very brief sermon. The only hot meals I've been eating is the ones where I go out to a restaurant, and I'm not particularly fond of that. But if you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to go to 3 John, find Revelation, then go back one, it's Jude, and then we come to 3 John. I'm going to read the entire chapter to you this evening. It's not that long. It's only 14 verses, and I am going to share with you the ministry of hospitality. What does it mean to be hospitable? 3 John, verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, the get-rich-quick preachers will say that's what they use, but that's not what it's talking about, as we will explain. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to, what's that word?
Strangers,
which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, the Diopolis, who loves to have the preeminence among men, receives us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius says, a good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and also we bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust that I shortly shall see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be unto thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for not only here today, but all across the land, men stood and preached the word of God. We thank you for the news that's already in heaven of those who trusted you. I pray tonight, Lord, as this message goes out to these, your children, fellow believers, God, that it will encourage their hearts, help them, Lord, to be more hospitable than they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Word of God teaches that it is a Christian's duty to be actively engaged in hospitality. And I got you to read that last word in verse 5. God said, faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the stranger. Now, Paul said in Hebrews that some of us entertain angels unaware. Any of y'all ever entertain an angel? Christine did tonight. You'll get that when you get home. Okay. Jeez. Hey, I had to drive 37 miles to get here. Wake up! What does it mean? What's this ministry of hospitality mean to the child of God? Well, in verse 14, number one, charity. John was glad to have heard that Gaius was loyal to the truth. No matter what happened, he's loyal to the truth. I have a pastor friend tonight, and I'll not mention his name because it'd go out over Facebook, and I don't want to put him on the spot, but has decided that working in public works is better than pastoring. It may pay more now, but it won't pay when they stand before God. And I share with my pastor friend, I said, if God's really called you, you're never going to be happy doing anything else. So how charitable are you tonight? How charitable are you when it comes to the Word of God? Do you know that there's actually people sitting here that when they go home, they will lay their Bible down and not pick it up until next Sunday? This is the word of truth. Amen. This is the guiding light that we have. If I can say anything to you tonight, love the word of God with all your heart, mind, and soul. It'll never lead you wrong. You got problems? The answer's here. You're rejoicing? The answer's here. The Bible says in Psalms 100, I believe it is, to praise the Lord at all times. So charity, loyal to the word of God. In other words, Gaius's walk was consistent with God's truth. Think about that. Is my walk consistent with the word of God? When I leave this place, when I go home, I go to work, wherever it is, do people really see what I am and who I am? Do they see me as a hypocrite? And by the way, if you're a hypocrite, and most of us, and not all of us, have experienced that in our lives, perhaps some of you even today, you're not very loyal to the Word of God. His walk was consistent with God's truth. Also in verse 14, the converts were still loyal to the gospel. What does that mean in verse 14? I met some people. I went out to dinner with them, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. But back in 1982, the wife and the mother's in heaven now, came forward. We're in a storefront building. They're sitting against the back wall. They can't get back any farther if they tried. When the invitation was given, both mother and daughter came down the aisle. I think she was about 32 at the time. Weeping, crocodile tears, just under deep conviction. Both of them got saved. That's where you say amen. And the wife went home and told her husband, you know you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Well, the husband backs up like this because they've been married 15 years. He never heard this from his wife. So he comes the next Sunday with his son. Both of them get saved. You want to know what fills my heart with joy? It's to see people after 40-some years still faithful to God. You should go to the house of God every opportunity you get. I'll take you to the nursing homes. I'll take you to homes in Roanoke with people I know that would give anything to be able to sit where you're sitting tonight and hear the Word of God. I was talking to this brother and his daughter before service. You know, I'm not a big fan of internet, and I'm not a big fan of Facebook. Now, you may throw stones at me after church, but how in the world can people sit in their pajamas and eat their breakfast and watch the preacher? If you listen to Ernest Angley, he'll tell you to put your hand on the screen and he'll bless you. If you ain't careful, if your hands are wet, you'll get blessed all right. Charity. And every time I see those people that I just spoke about, people like them over the years, when I see them and they're still in the house of God, they may not be at Lighthouse where I began, but they're still serving the Lord. They're still in the choir. They can still be counted on for Christmas programs. They can still be counted on for soul winning. One of the things I found out when Nan went to heaven is people don't go see old people. Any of y'all old that admits it? Even their children don't come. Since July, I've had the chance to be in 20 homes, and I gently rebuked my pastor. I said, we're not visiting. We don't visit the people that are lonely and old. And the Bible says in James, pure religion is this, that we visit the widows, the fatherless, those who have no one. And I look at these lonely, to make a long story short, he started up the program again. He's got people going out on visitation. He's got people going to see the old people. He's got people writing cards. He's got people making phone calls. I think Monday night before last, he had 18 people out. That's what we're supposed to do. You leave today and you don't tell anybody about Jesus till next week. How can you say you have charity? Now, there's many of you that are sitting here, your faces are familiar. You're just as ugly as you were when I first met you. But you're consistent. You're always in the house of God. You're always trying to invite somebody. And by the way, they'll laugh at you. They'll curse you. They'll tell you that preacher's just after your money or he's after your wife or whatever. They'll give you any reason where they don't have to come to the house of God. But you need to show charity to these people. Have you ever been, and I don't know, if the, I guess they do it in Buchanan or Buchanan or wherever it is I'm at. Buchanan. You ever drive up to a stop sign or a stoplight? Some guy sitting there said, I need work, help, I'm hungry. And guilt overrides you and you pull out a 5 or a 10 or even a 20 and you hand it to them. I found out that the panhandlers in Roanoke drive Cadillacs. I pulled up, I don't know, about a month ago. Yeah, it got me. But I didn't give any money. I said, just a minute, I got something for you. And I reached over and I had a little pile of gift cards to restaurants. And I handed him one and he looked at it. And he said, this is not what I need, no thank you. And you know what I said to him? Go hungry. You're not getting my cash to go buy your drugs and do your thing if you're hungry. I've even told these panhandlers, you need work? Follow me home. Get in the car. I'll give you some work and I'll pay you good. You know what? They suddenly don't need work. But we don't know who it is that needs that help. We got to learn to let go of our wallets. We probably have people at Valley tonight that are so tight, and you say, how tight are you? They're so tight, they squeeze the buffalo until it roars. You people over 50 know what a buffalo nickel is. And they don't want to turn it loose. And then in verses 5 through 8, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles for his name's sake. I've said this, people don't believe it, some do, but most don't. If you want money, give it away. I've shared this and I give glory to God. I don't want to pat on the back and say, my, that's a nice thing to do. But I promised God when I went into this type ministry of filling pulpits, whatever they give me, I will deduct my tithe, some gas money sometimes, and the rest of it goes into a special fund. And God says, give that brother $100. Now, he didn't say that. I'm just using you as an example, okay? Or give this brother over here $500. And I keep it in an envelope hidden in my house. I think in the last 3 weeks, I gave $1,000 away. Are you nuts? What you gave me today was extremely generous. I asked Stanley if I could have another check tonight. He said no. The one this morning was sufficient, and I will take it and cash it, and I'll put that cash in a little secret place, and the Lord will say, help that brother and sister. I wait on God, but some people don't know what generosity is. Clearly, those who go forth with the gospel need support of Christians. I drove from Rocky Mount to way above Radford, way up there in the boonies somewhere. Poured rain all the way up, all the way back. I got up and preached. The lady came by. She was the secretary, and she said, Pastor, I forgot the checkbook. Well, I've heard that one before. We'll send you a check. This is a good-sized church with pretty good money. They sent me a check for $25. I didn't begrudge you, Lord. I sent it back and I said, hey, there's probably people in your church that need this worse than me. Generosity. Send them on their way in a godly sort, God says. That's what you folks did this morning. That's what some of you do tonight. And by the way, if you shake my hands, don't squeeze too hard. The arthritis is killing me. But if you want to grease my palm, that's fine. Thought I'd throw that in there. Generosity. And to strangers, as we said in verse 5, you are faithful in what you are doing. Notice what John says, you do well if you send them on their way in a godly manner. Is that what you do when you have visitation pastors? Do you send them on their way in a godly manner? It's good to have you. I mean, I can jive with your spirit because most of you have the same spirit I do. It's called the Holy Spirit. Some people back up. Some people don't like to hear what I have to say. Most of those people are unsaved. Well, folks, I didn't come to please you. I came to preach the Word of God. Amen. So how are you when it comes to charity? And how are you when it comes to generosity? Well, I got to save my money. Let me let you in on a little secret. Everything you have, your clothes, your eyeglasses, your money, your car, your spouse, your children, the very air you breathe, it all belongs to God. All of it. Well, I'm going to have to give an account to God one day. I didn't tithe like I should. Hey, you're going to give an account to God how you spent what you kept. You're going to give an account to God for how you misused that automobile, how you misused that spouse, how you misused those children. It all belongs to the Lord. Take a deep breath. That comes from God, and He can take it anytime He wants. We have a generous, generous God. Verse 7 says, for the sake of His name. Now, folks, that's hospitality in Jesus' name. Now, I've had people come to my front door. I live on Buck Mountain Road. Some of you have been in Roanoke. It's kind of a main road, too, from 220 over toward Cave Spring. And as soon as they come up on the porch, I know who they are. Jehovah's Witness. Would to God that God's people were as generous with the gospel as the fake gospel they present. And they were from Kingdom Hall. And I say, well, I'm going to a kingdom, but it ain't Kingdom Hall. Can we talk to you about Jesus? I said, yes, ma'am. It's always women or children. I'll give you 5 minutes. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses say a whole lot in 5 minutes. But I said, by the same turn, when you get done, you don't interfere with my speech. What I have to say, I get 5 minutes. I've had Jehovah's Witnesses get so mad at me, they told me to go to hell. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. You don't believe in hell. What are you telling me to go there for? And they get furious sometimes. And they want you to believe what they have is the truth. That's not the spirit of generosity. As a matter of fact, John says, do not wish them Godspeed. Do not invite them into your home. Because most Christians, even at Valley, some Christians are very weak when it comes to the Word of God. They'll take it out of context, they'll twist it, and before you know it, they got you scratching your head, wondering whether you're going to heaven or hell or not. I'm glad the Jehovah's Witness don't keep my salvation. I'm glad I'm held by Jesus Christ. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you to the end of the world. Everybody else may leave me, and I'll tell you, there's been some lonely times since Nan went to be with the Lord. I keep myself busy in the daytime, but at night, toss and turn and look out the window and get up and walk and do all kinds of things. And the only way I can go to sleep is read my Bible. Been there and done that, haven't you? Get lonely, but he's there. And then in verses 9 and 10, this may hit some of you. I wrote unto the church, but Diopolis, who loves to have the preeminence among them, received us not. If you're going to have true humility, true hospitality, you got to have humility. Well, I'm humble. I looked in the mirror today and said, I'm the humblest person I ever was. We're proud people. And we don't need to be proud except to know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. Look what he did. We'll have nothing to do with us. Have you ever been in church and somebody stop talking about you or stop talking to you and started talking about you? That's what you say, uh-huh. Been there and done that? Well, I just don't appreciate what you said. Mama always said, and she raised 5 boys, if you can't say something good, keep your mouth shut. Amen. One of the worst things in our churches today is gossip. Or an unforgiving spirit. I don't care what anybody says. I'm never going to forgive that young lady for what she did. I'm never going to forgive him for what. Oh, I'll forget it. No, forget and forgive go together like bread and butter. You got to have them both. You got to have them both. Humility. He was maliciously gossiping. If you study this, he wasn't just saying, that's the shortest dress I ever seen on anybody. I ought to be ashamed. Why doesn't he shave? Boy, he smells bad. And then the Word of God says that he went after their reputation. He refused to welcome the brethren into the church. He forced other believers to be inhospitable. Do you realize if you hang around somebody long enough that's not hospitable, that's the way you will become? Well, they're getting away with it. I should be able to. That's not the spirit that God gave us. We are to love one another. And I dealt with it in 2 churches for several years, decades, of gossiping women and men. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight, ladies. Some men can put you to shame when it comes to gossip. And they're not ashamed of it. Well, he didn't take my position. He wasn't on my side. And so they maliciously began to slander you. Now, I've been called everything but a white man. And if I'd had some black shoe polish, they would have called me that. But I'd never been called a liar. Never. Until shortly before I left Lighthouse. And a deacon's wife and a deacon got upset with me because I wouldn't do something, and they went after me tooth and nail. We came back from vacation. We had already decided 30 years is long enough. We need to look for something else, what the Lord would want us to do. And they were so malicious, they persuaded the entire council, which was 11 of them on it, to believe what the deacon's wife said. And I told the deacon's wife 3 times, if I come in and find you asleep in daycare one more time, I'm going to fire you. And the kids were 80 feet away in the other end of the building. She was the only one there. She said, you can't fire me. I said, watch me. I don't need anybody's permission to hire you or to fire you. And she got so angry with me, she told her husband, we got to do something about that preacher. They didn't run me off. I'd already decided to leave. But when they had the big meeting, a few days later, everybody that was anybody showed up at Lighthouse. And there, I let them speak. I let them say what they wanted to say. I did not let the meeting get out of control. I don't believe that's God honoring. One of the deacons said, well, Preacher Andrews, you need to stay and straighten this out. No, you've made your decision. It wasn't get even. I knew if I stayed, it would get worse and it would hurt the reputation of the church. And I said, besides, we've already decided to go. Now what you have to do is live with it. Of those 11 people that sat on that council, I think 8 or 9 have called me over the last 14 or 15 years and said, Preacher, how wrong we were. Boy, you know, revenge tastes good. But I can't taste it very long because God says, revenge is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And I said, well, I'm glad you've learned the truth. Would you consider coming back to Lighthouse? I said, no, I'm finished pastoring. I like what God's called me to do now, and that's to assist churches in the gospel, to fill in like with Brother Boone. Although he only works 1 hour a week and he gets 10 days off. Wow, what a job. He forced other believers to be inhospitable. You need to get on my side. Now, I know you're a preacher. And I know your preacher's wife. And I know when he senses there's a click, this little bunch is against this little bunch is against that, he's going to step in with a sword and he's going to slice and cut. There's no room in the church for cliques. Amen. There's no room for you to go home and say, can you believe what he said? I mean, it's unreal. I'm not going back to Valley View. I'm going to find me a church that's a little more gentler. And by the way, if you talk about somebody and tear them down and just beat the daylights out of them, what goes around comes around. Sooner or later, they will talk about you. So Demetrius, I mean, this guy was just unreal in verses 9 and 10. He said, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doth, prating or planning against us with malicious words. And not content thereof, that didn't satisfy him, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. How can you say you're saved and you don't receive one of God's people into your church? The poor, the rich, the well-dressed or the not well-dressed, whoever it is, it comes, they should be welcomed with open arms with one goal, to see that they're saved, and the second goal is to see that they grow in knowledge and truth of the Lord. And forbids them that would, this guy had power, look at it, cast them out of the church. Well, if the church don't want me, they don't have to cast me out. I'll just quit and go somewhere else. That's exactly what the devil wants, because he knows when you quit, you most likely won't go somewhere else. He's got you. He's got you by the throat, and you're defeated before you start. Listen, what do you do with people that are mean to you? I had a gentleman about 7 or 8 years ago in our church, and I noticed they wasn't doing anything for the adult Sunday school teacher. Now, put your hands over your ears, Sunday school teacher. I don't want you to hear this. They may get ideas. But I said, do we do anything for this brother? I mean, he goes into the Word, you get a good drink of water, you've been fed. And they said, well, we used to, but we don't anymore. So I went to the pastor and I said, can I begin to take up an offering for our adult Sunday school teacher? He said, sure, preacher. So I got up one morning and I announced it at the 11 o'clock service. Place is packed. And this know-it-all deacon, now we only got one deacon here tonight, and I know he don't know it all because he's married to Shelby. He jumped me in front of 35 or 40, and I mean he cut me to the quick. That's not the way we do it. We've never done it that way before. And I could feel the heat coming up the back of my neck. If you don't know what that means, I was ready to punch his lights out. Yeah. You know what I said? I said, the pastor said it was okay. I went to him and got his permission. I'm at peace with it. If you don't want to give anything to the adult Sunday school teacher, it's fine. And I even told that to the whole church. If you want to give, give. If you don't want to give, don't give. If you don't got it, that's okay. Just do whatever you want. And every year, our class of 25 adults, or thereabouts, give our adult Sunday school teacher, here's where you cover your ears, $500 to $700. Every year. We can't pay him, but we're just saying, hey, we appreciate the study, the time you take away from your family, you get into the Word of God, you teach the Word of God, you teach it right, and we just want to say we love you and we want to give you this. And he goes and buys all kinds of volumes of all kinds of books and studies and studies and studies. But what happened that night or that day, he had no calls to call me on the carpet. Now, there's only been one time, don't ask me after church when, one time that I disagreed with Pastor Boone, and we're at camp. You know what he said to me? He said, you can be one of the most overbearing preachers I ever met. I didn't like that. It hurt. And I didn't say anything. I went, put my tail between my legs, went back to my room pouting. Then God got a hold of me. And God said, he's right. He's right. And I went back to the pastor and I said, I was wrong. You were right. Well, you know how Daniel jokes. He said, yeah, I'm always right. He thinks he is. And it was corrected, and we have remained dear friends all these years. But if I'd have got mad about what he said, which was the truth, and by the way, my wife had to teach me, when you speak the truth, use a little bit of tact. Don't tell somebody to go run in front of a bus. Because you don't like them. Don't tell them jump off the bridge. It's like the gorilla jumped off the Empire State Building. 80 or 90 stories. Down he's coming. He gets right at the fourth floor just before the pavement. And somebody hollers out to the gorilla. How's it going? And the gorilla hollers back. So far, so good. That's the way some believers are. And they, if they can't be happy, they don't want anybody else to be happy. Do you have people like that at Valley View? Mm-hmm. Every church has them. Don't ignore them. Pray for them and try to put them on the right path. That's all you can do. And then there's Diotrephes in verses 11 and 12. Testimony is one of those ministries of hospitality. Bad behavior was to be avoided. D.L. Moody, that I've quoted many times, the old West Virginia circuit riding preacher, said this. He said, your conduct outside the church reflects your relationship with God inside the church. It's easy to be a Christian here tonight, isn't it? We're all smiles and we're happy and the sermon is short, and we get to go home and watch Bonanza, and, you know, it's okay. But when you get out tomorrow, what about that guy that cuts you? What did he learn to drive? Somebody did that to me coming over. I mean, 2 inches and I'd have had him. Human side would have said, speed up and let him have it. The spiritual side said, this car belongs to God, slow down. And I couldn't get mad. But we've been cut off. We've been called names. We've been fussed at. We've been gossiped about in the church. Don't quit on God. Learn to have that ministry of hospitality before the Lord. And then the last thing is in verses 13 and 14, to be intimate. John wished to communicate face to face with this guy. And he said, greet one another by name. Now, the older you get, the harder it is to remember the names. I just say, hey, hi, you're looking good. I ain't got no idea who it is. My wife's funeral, I mean, it was revival. And a young lady came up to me, probably in her late 20s or early 30s, had two beautiful little girls. And she looked at me, her eyes was filled with tears, and she said, "Do you remember me?" And I hadn't seen her in 25 years. And I looked at her and I said, "Ma'am, I ain't got no idea who you are. Your wife taught me when I was in the fourth, the fifth, and sixth grade, we had ACE type schooling. And she taught sixth grades at one time, and that girl never forgot the kindness of Nancy Andrews. You made a bad grade. Here's what you need to do and improve it." She never fussed at them. She never jumped down their throat. Here's what you need to do. She had influence on a young lady that 25 years later remembered that spirit of hospitality. Greet your friends by name. I hate to be called "Hey You." I looked at my birth certificate and it says Bob Andrews. It doesn't say "Hey You." My name's easy to remember, Bob. B-O-B forward, B-O-B backwards. I'm like radar, I get you going and coming. Radar is spelled the same way forward and the same way backwards. You'll get that when you get home too. Be able to help whenever we meet someone that the Spirit of God says, there's somebody that needs some help. Maybe they just need a can of food. Maybe, like Christine, I didn't ask for the food today. I'm looking forward to eating the roast and mashed potatoes when I get home. But she thought about me. And she heard me say peanut butter and jelly. I like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But I like the roast and mashed potatoes she got. Is she a good cook, brother? I won't get sick?
No.
Okay, if I do, I can call you. Your number's in the book, right. And I don't mean to put her on the spot, but that's the spirit of hospitality. Nobody had to go and tell her to do it. What kind of spirit do you have tonight when it comes to serving other people? This is my church. No, it's not. This is my pastor. No, it's not. It all belongs to God. That's what I told you this morning. I'll tell you again. It's all God's. Them short dresses you wear, they're God's. That tight T-shirt you wear to church, they're God's. And we're living in an age people come to church like they're going to the beach. Where's the reverence and respect for God? Huh? Where is that spirit of hospitality that a stranger has come by your house and God said, "Help them"? And you didn't. Not only the believer, but also the stranger. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Do I have the real spirit of hospitality? Am I charitable? Am I generous? Do I have humility? Is my testimony as good outside the church as it is in? And am I intimate with my brothers and sisters? I don't care what they've done to you. Jesus forgave all your sin. You should be able to forgive theirs against you. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your love. And I am grateful, Lord, for Valley and what you've done here, Lord, as I've watched this ministry over the years. Lord, some of them may be discouraged tonight because they don't have as many as they used to. Help them, Lord, to go out tomorrow and to reach out one lost person and do all they can to get them in the house of God by next Sunday. Help them, Lord. You're the one that grows the church. You're the one that saves them one at a time. You're the one, Lord, that touches our hearts and helps us to be generous and to be humble and to have a testimony to those in our community. Lord, when they look at us, may they see the light of Christ shining forth. Have your will and your way for the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Paul's going to come and we'll have a hymn of invitation. And while he's coming, thank you for letting me bring the word of God to Valley View.
Thank you, Brother Bobby. Our hymn of invitation this evening will be the Solid Rock, hymn 125. Let's stand together as the altar is open. My My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ above, darkness veils his lovely face. I rest on his unchanging grace. And every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. Brother Bobby, we appreciate you traveling out to share with us today. I know it's a long trip to make twice in one day, but we appreciate you, buddy. We love you.
Yeah, but I got roasted mashed potatoes.
Got roasted mashed potatoes, and it's good. And so some cake, might be some cake. Is there cake in there, too? There's some birthday cake in there, too. Probably not even his birthday, but anyway.
No, it's June, and I'll be 28.
Amen. We'll be looking forward to that. Good gracious. All right, well, come back Wednesday night, 7 o'clock for our Wednesday night prayer service. And